to be successful in anything in life, you got to stick with it. I mean, whether it's your walk with the Lord or your work for the Lord or your career or a marriage, it doesn't matter what it is. To be successful, you got to stick with it. I mean, it takes endurance. It takes perseverance. It takes character to just keep going. You know, most successful people are pretty ordinary, but they have an extraordinary amount of determination. How about Thomas Edison? He's known as one of the greatest inventors of history. They say that he made over 900 light bulbs that failed. You talk about being bullheaded. He just kept going. I mean, most people would have quit after two or three tries. He goes to all the trouble to make a light bulb, and then it doesn't work 900 times, but he finally gets it right. Not surprising that Edison said that genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. See, some of you, you're a genius and you just don't know it yet. But he never gave up. He just kept going. And most of us have heard this many, many times, but quitters never win and winners never quit. That's right. They just keep going. And in the culture that we live in, there's so many quitters. It's just like quitting is epidemic. Now, not everybody's a quitter. We call those people winners. I just want you to know, whatever it is, you got to keep going. I mean, we start diets, we make commitments, we get a membership, we start tithing, so many things, we quit. I remember one time I was going to learn Spanish. You know, I had these CDs. I was going to listen to them and learn Spanish. And I kind of worked at that a little bit for about 3 weeks. And I can say, sí and no, as in no hablo español. That's about it. But here's what I want to say to you. If you're going to accomplish anything, you can't quit. You got to keep going. But you know, starting doesn't really mean anything if you don't finish. It takes endurance. It'll work in school. It'll work in marriage. It'll work in a career. It'll work in exercise. It'll work in serving the Lord. Keep going. You know, many times the Bible uses a race as a metaphor for life. And you know, in a race, it doesn't really matter that much how you start. I mean, people say, oh, you got to get a good start. Well, yeah, I can understand how that can be important. But when the day is done, it doesn't matter how somebody started. It only matters how they finished. And I want to encourage you. You see, starting well is not good, it's not good enough. You got to keep going to the end. And some of you, you didn't start well. Keep going. You can finish well. I mean, you might have a kid that started off really bad. The race isn't over. Don't quit. Don't give up. You keep doing what you know to do. You keep praying. You keep doing your best. Even in the difficult times, keep going. So, don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on overcoming a health problem. Don't give up on getting to a better place financially. Don't give up on the call of God. Keep going. Where you are right now in your life is a snapshot at some point in the race. It is not the finish photo. Keep going. Don't stop. I've known so many people who started well, but they didn't finish. I've known so many people who had gifts and talents and abilities in ministry, and yet they're not running the race anymore. And it's real simple. They didn't keep going. You got to keep going. Hebrews 10:36 tells us this, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." You have need of endurance, so after you've done the will of God, what happens? You'll receive the promise. Oh, how wonderful this is, that it tells us if we'll just keep going, we'll receive the promise. How sad this is that so many people quit. They quit too soon. Anytime you quit, it's too soon. You got to keep going. Start big, seem to have it all together, but they don't finish. They don't stick with their service for the Lord. They don't keep their commitments to God. They don't stick with the promises and believing those promises. Some walk away from the faith altogether. Our responsibility is to keep doing the will of God, then we'll receive what God has promised. Now, the world says it's talent, it's timing, it's money, it's PR, it's intelligence. But in the kingdom of God, the most important thing is character. And here's a real popular message. That's sarcasm, y'all. God cares much more about your character than your comfort. It's easy to preach about how God wants to make life better for you and easier for you, and everything's just going to go your way. And I want to tell you, our God is certainly capable of doing those things. But He's more concerned about our character than our comfort. He wants to develop in our life this ability to endure, to just keep going. The Apostle Paul was a man of great endurance. That's just, you know, endurance. It's not really a real popular virtue today. The theme of the day is, if it's hard, find an easier way. I mean, you know, if something's really difficult, well, maybe we just don't need to do that. Let's just find a new path. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool." See, he knows you're not really supposed to be talking this way, but he wrote it under the inspiration of the Spirit, and here it comes. He says, "I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a day and a night. I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleep. Sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." I don't think anybody has got a list of hardships that can beat the Apostle Paul's. He endured. He just kept going. He was rejected, he was cursed, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was hated, he was falsely accused. Times when he was left all alone, times when he had to do without. He had every opportunity to quit, but he kept going. From the very beginning of his ministry, it was tough. I mean, you know, he had persecuted the church, and so people were afraid of him. They wouldn't receive his ministry, but he just kept going. The Lord sent him to some of the most difficult places. He just kept going. People rejected his message. He just kept going. 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9, he said, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Under pressure, but he's not caving. When it seems like it's just too much, the Lord says in his word, he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. He said, perplexed, but not in despair. I want to tell you, there were things that were perplexing to the Apostle Paul, things he didn't understand. And we all go through this. This is a real battle. This is why some people quit. They don't understand. What do you do when you don't understand? You keep going. You just trust God and you keep going. You're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. I mean, when you're doing right, there's always going to be somebody that doesn't like it. Or there's always going to be somebody, even a well-meaning brother or sister in the Lord, that's being used as a tool of the devil to give you a hard time. So many Christians who don't really serve the Lord because somebody hurt them. Keep going. You're not forsaken. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you're persecuted, when you're mistreated, you just keep going with Jesus. Struck down but not destroyed. I want to tell you, life will knock you down. People, circumstances, even personal failure sometimes will knock you down. But it won't destroy you if you'll keep on going. I mean, even a boxer that gets knocked down can still get up and win the fight if he doesn't give up. Micah 7:8 says, when I fall, I shall arise. You need to make up your mind. You know what? When I fall, when I get knocked down, I'm not staying down. I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep going. You know, I talked about John Wesley Sunday, I believe it was. And John Wesley was a great man of God that God used to bring revival to two continents. I mean, he was just a powerful preacher and God just used him. But I'm going to read a little to you from John Wesley's diary. Sunday a.m., May 5. Preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May 5. Preached in St. John's, deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12. Preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May 19. Preached in St. somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May 19, preached on street, kicked off street. I mean, this guy just can't seem to get it. You know what I'm saying? Sunday a.m., May 26, preached in a meadow, chased out of meadow as a bull was turned loose during service. Sunday a.m., June 2, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m., June 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. You know why God used him so mightily? He wouldn't quit. He just kept going. He had every opportunity. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The NIV says, run the race marked out for you. See, there's a race that's set before you that God has for your life, for each and every one of us. There is a plan and a purpose of God for our life. And that's the race that we have to run. You can't run someone else's race. It's really weird how a lot of the time people get hung up on this. They want somebody else's life. They want to run somebody else's race. Does it work that way? You can only win your race. Don't allow that to keep you somebody else's race. Don't allow that envy to keep you from running your race and completing what God has for you. In 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul said, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. He knew what God's purpose was for him. It was the driving force of his life, and you see, it kept him going, even through all the hard places. Acts 20, 22 through 24 in the NIV says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem." He's compelled by the Spirit. He knows this is what he's supposed to do. "Not knowing what will happen to me there, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me." So the same Spirit that's compelling him to go there is warning him that prison and hardships face him. He's getting him ready. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race, complete the task. The Lord Jesus has given me the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." See, no matter what happened to him, no matter how hard it was, he was going to keep going because he knew that God had called him and he had a destiny to fulfill. The Holy Spirit, there's going to be hardships, but it didn't matter to him. The only thing that mattered to him was finishing his race. And in 2 Timothy 4, 7, he was able to say, "I have finished the race." Doesn't matter if you're raising children, leading a small group, talking to people about the Lord. You need to know that you make a difference. If you don't know that you matter, there will come a day that you don't bother. You got to know that you matter. That God has a race for you, and it makes a difference. It makes a difference in this life and in eternity. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It matters. It makes a difference. So you keep going. If you think it's in vain, you'll give up. You have to know that it's not in vain. God has this plan for your life, and at the end of this life, our success or our failure is not going to be determined by the size of our bank account. I want to tell you right now, there are a lot of people with a whole lot of money, and they're going to stand before a holy God completely and totally bankrupt with no plea. It'll all burn. It's in the book. Y'all just be glad. I'm not going to take time to read it all to you. But it's in the book. All that's going to burn. Wood, hay, and stubble. And it's all going to be burned up and gone. It's not going to matter how big your house was, what kind of car you drove. None of that's going to matter on that day. In eternity, all of that stuff is worthless. And it won't matter what accolades of men, what achievements we had, apart from the race that God has called us to, none of that stuff will matter. Because in eternity, what makes you a success or a failure is 100% whether or not you fulfilled God's purpose in your life. That's it. In eternity, if you did that, you are an absolute success. And if you didn't do that, it doesn't matter what else you did in this world. You'll be a failure in eternity. All those things seem to be important. But when this life is over, none of that's going to matter. It was just a distraction. After the resurrection, Jesus is having breakfast with the disciples. And there's this conversation in John 21 where he asks Peter three times if he loves him. And Peter is hurt, offended, because he asked him this three times. Each time Peter would say, "You know I love you." And then Jesus would say, "Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep." And then he tells him this in John 21, 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is the writer John talking about himself, like, hey, I'm the one Jesus really loved, who had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What about this guy? Why do I have to do this? I mean, what about him? This doesn't seem fair. Start looking at somebody else's race. We think they've got it easier. Some of you are thinking about somebody right now. Well, if I had the opportunities that they have, or if I had the talents, the ability that they have, I want to tell you, you don't know. You don't know what it took for them to get where they are. Let me just explain it this way. There's a whole lot of people that would like to be famous and important and amazing like the Apostle Paul. And none of them want to go through what he went through. And you don't know what somebody else has been through. I've learned this over and over and over again. You don't know what somebody else has been through. And neither do you know what they're going through right now. You just don't have any idea. But we think, oh, if I was in that situation, run your own race. Jesus tells Peter, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You just run your race. You keep going to the end. There's things that God wants you to do. There's things that God wants to accomplish through you. There are responsibilities and assignments that have been entrusted to you. And you have to keep going. This is not about preachers and elite. This is all of us. All of us. When you read the scripture, you see that we are all part of a body and we all have a work to do. Every single one of us can touch or impact somebody else's life. All of us. Jesus did all that the Father wanted him to do. John 17, 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Aren't you glad that Jesus finished the work? Aren't you glad he fulfilled the purpose of God? But for that, we would all be lost. I'm also thankful that the Apostle Paul finished his race. How much God used him that we are still blessed by. We're reading scripture tonight that the Lord had him write under the inspiration of the Spirit. But here's the thing. You need to realize that how we run our race affects other people. If we do what the Father has for us to do in this life, it's going to affect other people's life here and now and eternity. You know, motivational experts, they say there's two kinds of motivation. There's external motivation and there's internal motivation. And they say that internal motivation is a lot more powerful. But there's a third kind of motivation they don't know about. It's eternal motivation. Because the things that we do right now it's not just going to matter for a little while. It's going to matter for eternity. I wonder, when you get into eternity, and if you have the opportunity, besides Jesus, is there going to be some people you want to thank? Did you know if you run your race, there'll be some people that want to thank you? That's right. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He tells us to get rid of any weight or sin so that we can run with endurance. If you're going to keep going, you got to get rid of the sins and the weights, the things that hold you back. Get rid of the distractions. Can't waste your time here on earth with things that aren't His will, things that are not part of the plan of God. Sin will keep you from being able to run at your full potential. And sometimes it's not just sin or bad things, but it's just things that are in our life that are hindering us in some way. And we need to be careful to get rid of those things so that nothing keeps us from finishing our race. You got to keep going. Keep going. To keep going, you got to avoid distractions, keeping your eyes on Jesus. How do you keep going? You keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Eyes on Jesus, not on other people. Eyes on Jesus. He's the reason. He's the reason we keep going. It's because of Jesus. He's always our motivation. You can't have your eyes on other people. They'll let you down. Whatever you do in the work of the ministry, remember you're doing it for Jesus. That's the only answer that will get you through the hard places. You got to do it for Jesus. If God has given you purpose, see, people can't take that away. This is good news for some, and maybe some consider it bad news, but people didn't call you, and people can't uncall you. If God put something on your heart to do, and that's part of the race He has for you, people can't take that away. That's between you and God. You know, so much of our life, we just need to realize we do this for Jesus. I keep going because of Jesus. I mean, this is even why we obey Him, right? We don't obey Him because we're afraid of Him. Anybody that has that kind of relationship with God, that's just miserable. How sad is that? You know why we obey Him? Jesus said, the one who loves me obeys me. If you love me, He says, you'll keep my commands. That is always our motivation. That is always the right motivation. Maybe that's a better way to say it. That's always the right motivation. If we're motivated by self-satisfaction, there's going to come a time when we're dissatisfied. If we're motivated by recognition, I can assure you there are going to be times when you don't get recognized. If we do good deeds because it makes us feel good, it does, but sometimes it's not going to feel good, especially when you do something good and you get evil repaid in return. None of those things work. What works is you're motivated by your love for Jesus. That's why you keep going. You keep your eyes on Jesus and you can keep going. I want to remind you of this again. John 17:4, Jesus finished. He said, I've glorified you on earth. I've finished the work which you have given me to do. He was fully God. He's also fully man. He got tired. He got thirsty. He got hungry. And he needed rest. And he needed time alone with his Father. He's always our example. Luke 5:15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Big crowds, all these people coming and coming and coming. Surely he'll just stay there till every last one is healed and delivered and set free. And tomorrow there'll be another 30,000 come and he'll just do the same thing again and again and again and again and again. That's not what he did. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. This is how he kept going. When did he do this? Often. Often. He withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. We have to do that. Because our strength will fail. Anybody experienced it? We all have. Our strength will fail. But if we get our strength from Him, if He is the source of our strength, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is the one that gives us the strength so we can keep going. But we have to have that time with the Lord. Isaiah 40:29-31, He gives power to the weak and to those. I got to pause there. He gives power to the weak. Not to the strong, to those that know they're weak. To those that know that they have to have His help. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They're going to be able to keep going. As they wait on the Lord, He's the source of our strength. Keep going. You need to know God is with you. He's for you. He's promised to help you. He's promised to give you strength. He's called us to be more than conquerors. You see, if you will keep going, you will win. Amen. I just encourage you tonight. I know sometimes we get discouraged. I want to encourage you. Keep going. God is able to turn it around. You will win. Stand with me. We're going to pray.